was drawn to the world of spirits, and how it craves and desires its home, and becomes separate from the bodily parts, which are a fetter on the leg of the spiritual fellow. It says, O my base earthly parts, my exile is more bitter. I am celestial. The desire of the body for green herbs and running water is because its origin is from those. The desire of the soul is for life and for the living one, because its origin is the infinite soul. The desire of the soul is for wisdom and the sciences. The desire of the body is for orchards and meadows and vines. The desire of the soul is for ascent and exaltedness. The desire of the body is for gain and the means of procuring fodder.
Translation. What's going on? He is telling me that simple. Look at the human being. We have two different desires because we have two different parts. First is the body, this physical existence. What is this? This is the matter, earthly matter. So its attention and attraction is towards the earthly matters, towards the food and shelter and so on and so forth. This is what this desire is. But we have another part, the human part. My human part was not born from my mother, did it? My body, yes. My biology comes from my father and my mother. But what about my culture? That's not genetic. It depends where I was raised and who was my teacher and what was the environment I was living in, right? I learned it from humanity. I learned it later. That's another part of me. That part of me is not my physical being. It's my meaning. I always said, what is the meaning of me here? Teacher. What is the meaning of the teacher? In the classroom, if there is no classroom, there is no teacher. Our meaning is in we, in the humanity. Here he will say, look at these two different attentions. The first one, which is my personality, is looking for what? Science and wisdom. My biological stuff is looking for the garden, the fruit, the good food. I have these two. For improving one, I have to reduce one of this. As simple as that. Yes?
That exaltedness too hath desire and love towards the soul. From this understanding, he loves them and they love.
So there are all these different tendencies, attractions or desires, but at the end there is love. When you look at love, suddenly everything is different. Yes.
If I explain this, 'twill be endless. The Mathnavi will amount to 80 volumes.
Means what? Translation. He said, okay, listen, I spoke about this desire, that desire. But when it comes to love, how could I explain it? It will be a big book. So I have to condense it and hand it to you. Right? So be ready. One verse only. Yes.
The gist is that whenever anyone seeks, the soul of the object sought by him is desiring him.
Means, this is that attraction. This is both sides attract each other. So whenever something is moving in me, The same attraction comes from beloved. It's two sides being really connected. This is more real than the connection between my body and the earth is not that obvious. This is obvious, that when I'm seeking the knowledge, knowledge is looking for me. Yes?
Man, animal, plant or mineral, every object of desire is in love with everything that is without the object of desire. Those who are without their object of desire attach themselves to an object of desire, and those desired ones draw them on. But the desire of the lovers makes them leave. The desire of the loved ones makes them fair and beauteous. The love of the loved ones illumines the cheeks. The love of the lover consumes his soul. The amber loves with the appearance of wanting naught. The straw is making efforts on that long road. Leave this. The love of that thirsty-mouthed man shone in the breast of the Sadhu Jahan.
Means what? Means this is something that I told you. It needs to be said again and again, and it needs so many books. But let me put it as simple as this, that when we are talking about love, love is a two-side attraction. It's not one side. So when a lover feels that attraction, means beloved is paying attention. That's how we divide this. Therefore, all the credits will go to beloved and all the responsibility will be for the lover. Yes?
The smoke of the love and pain of the fire temple entered his Lord, turned into compassion. But on account of his glory and pride and magnificence, he was ashamed to inquire for him. His mercy had begun to yearn after that lowly man, his majesty hindered from this kindness. The intellect is bewildered, wondering whether this one attracted him or whether the attraction came from that quarter to this side. Abandon presumption, for thou art ignorant of this. Close thy lips. God best knoweth the secret.
Means what? Again, something like a cliche. It's always clear that he's doing it, and Rumi is doing it repeatedly. He will bring the conversation to a point that everything is ready. He will make one verse, like highlighted. Then he will repeat it and he will say, there is a complication here, so let's drop it for this moment, because this is something that you cannot get. How does he do it? At the end, there will be something which starts with Allahu, something to something. When he wants to talk about being patient, he will talk about be patient. God knows how the patient works. Sometimes, oh, wait a moment, the God will open the door. Here is the... This is something hidden, and only he knows about this hidden stuff. What is that hidden stuff? It started with a simple highlight. Aql, intelligence, does not understand this attraction. That was he pulled or pushed or what happened? And even you don't try to divide it to understand it. Because it's not like that. It's not logical. It's poetical. This is how we divide them. From this moment, I will not talk about this anymore. because that attraction is attracting you all. Why should I talk about it? Yes?
Henceforth, I will bury this topic. That drawer is drawing me. What can I do? Who is he that is drawing me?
There are these situations that you don't know what you do, but somehow you know, as if someone will dictate to you that you should do this. Here, they will say, this is something which is always hidden, where and how this attraction works. Why every human being is attracted to heart? We know everybody is, but why? We don't know. Here he said, okay, this is not something to know. This is an hidden stuff. And from this moment, I will hide it. Not because I decided. Because this is pushing me there to stop this nonsense argument. Yes?
Who is he that is drawing thee, O solicitous one? He who doth not allow thee to utter this word. Thou makest 100 resolutions to journey. He draweth thee to some other place. He turns the bridle in every direction in order that the untrained horse may gain knowledge of the rider. The clever horse is well paced because it knows that the rider is on it. He fixed thy heart on 100 passionate desires, disappointed thee, and then broke thy heart. Inasmuch as he broke the wings of that first intention, how was not the existence of the windbreaker perfectly established? Since his ordainment snapped the cord of thy contrivance, how was not God's ordainment perfectly established to thee?
Conclusion. A little bit interesting from here and there to say that this is something like that. I drop it because we cannot go on. Because how could we explain something? Let's go back to the horse and the horse rider. The horse rider will jump on a horse and will do what? First we'll lead this way, that way, that way, that way, just to let the horse know that I'm here and I'm leading you. So all these are not leading the horse, are letting the horse to understand that somebody is leading you, to say that, look in you. There is something in you that when that turns around, you don't know why, but you understand it somehow. You will understand when your mood will change. This is how that attraction could work. Even worse than that, yes.
The annulment and destruction of resolutions in order to let man know that he is the Lord and the Almighty, and his occasional non-annulment of his resolution, and his carrying it into effect in order that hope may urge him to form a resolution, so that he again may destroy it to the end that warning may follow on warning.
Are you listening to him? He is making a title for a paragraph, okay? And he knows where he is, near the close of the book. In this complicated situation, he's talking about what? Bringing another example, trying to explain this. To say what? Listen. That invisible force I'm talking about is doing two different things to you. And that's why you don't know what's happening. Because both sides are happening. There are times that you want to do something and that you will succeed. That stuff will happen. And there are times that you make your best effort, but it doesn't happen.